I want to begin the talk this morning by talking about the red scarf that I'm wearing. This was a gift several years ago when I was on a World AIDS Day panel. It was at the Cineplex, actually, and hosted by Lisa Lacco. And so this scarf is a reminder of the HIV/AIDS epidemic that began 40 years ago and is still with us, and which for me is still a source of ongoing healing. It's a call that has been resurrected by the COVID pandemic. At the same time, it is a nice bright red, and I thought very festive for this time of year. So it has a dual, certainly at least a dual purpose. We are deep into the holiday season, and we lit the final Advent candle today. Winter solstice arrives on Tuesday, while Christmas is only 6 days away. We know there are many different holiday celebrations around the world at this time of year. So we mark the solstice as the formal beginning of winter. In the Christian tradition, the birth of Jesus is celebrated. In secular terms, Christmas is a time to share gifts and gather with family and friends, probably in a limited fashion this year, once again. As Reverend Deborah Falk shared last week, Unitarians have had a good deal of influence on the introduction and evolution of modern Christian traditions. And so this month's theme of healing seems to me to be most appropriate at this time of year, and perhaps especially this year in particular. And while this is a time of joy and celebration for many, it can also be a difficult time for others, dealing with personal, community, and global concerns. For many of us, joy and sorrow, light and dark, are likely both present. Any of us may face personal health or other issues. Our beloved LUF community has been dealing with an extremely significant transition. The world is trying to recover from a global pandemic, but with further waves happening now, and notably with the Omicron variant, it's an ongoing issue. 2 weeks ago, our service focused on being the light, a reminder that there is always darkness that needs to be addressed. Leonard Cohen reminded us that there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. But with our focus on healing this month, these words from Rumi may be even more relevant. The wound is the place where the light enters you. So, as well as being a time for celebration, this can hopefully be a time of healing. And we need to be clear that healing is complex, and it's not the same as cure. Miriam Greenspan notes, if healing is to mean more, if healing is to mean more than a welcome relief from individual pain or a fear-driven avoidance of collective pain, it must be connected to a process of inquiring deeply into the suffering that is the part of everyone's life and spiritual journey, and that is an overwhelming fact of life on the planet today. Now, Reverend Wayne Arneson offers us some insights on what healing means. Now, in his piece, he's referring specifically to physical illness, but I think we can consider the term illness in a much broader context. He writes, how shall we be healed? I don't think we can begin to talk about what it means to be healed until we have arrived at a common understanding about what it means to be sick. If we limit our understanding of illness to the physical realm, then we limit our understanding of healing to that realm as well. We all live our lives in four dimensions: the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual. Although we may think first about something being physically wrong when we become ill, it doesn't take much reflection to realize that illness involves all four of these dimensions at the same time. Illness affects the wholeness of who we are, and this wholeness is a religious issue. While it is true that illness affects the whole person, it does not need to dominate the whole person. And the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual strength of people whose physical selves have been decimated by illness is undeniable. If we are to answer the question, how shall we be healed? It is this strength of spirit, intellect, and feeling in our loved ones and in ourselves that we must recognize and to which we must appeal. The journey into illness, the will to get well, and the search for healing are some of the most important spiritual journeys we take in our lives. Rudolf Ballantyne writes, "Healing is by its nature a knitting together, a restoration of wholeness. It requires that we see and accept lovingly all parts of ourselves. Our ability to contain more, to expand our identity, to accommodate the multifarious aspects of ourselves is the basis of healing." Now, this idea of wholeness is explored by Reverend Kirk Lodeman Copeland, who happens to be the administrator of the Touchstones Project. Wholeness is a sense of connection, of harmony, of depth, of integration. It emerges as we embrace our consistencies and contradictions, our gifts and flaws, our past and potential, our wounds and our blessings. As Parker Palmer reminds us, the divided life is a wounded life, and the soul keeps calling us to heal the wound. The phrase "being broken wanting wholeness" comes from Unitarian Universalist minister Marilyn Sewell. It is a statement about the human condition, which is not either or, but both and. Not only can we be broken and want wholeness, but we can be broken and whole at the same time, when our brokenness is incorporated into our wholeness. Parker Palmer continues, "Most of us know from experience what a divided life is. Inwardly, we feel one sort of imperative for our lives, but outwardly we respond to quite another. This is the human condition, of course. Our outer and inner worlds will never be in perfect harmony. But there are extremes of dividedness that become intolerable, and these undermine the possibility of healing and wholeness. We heal by recognizing and accepting the wounds, by taking small steps forward, by having a faith in a hidden wholeness that we can reclaim, by finding solace in silence, by sharing our story with others and listening to theirs, by forgiving others and ourselves, by letting go of what holds us back, by holding on to what gives us hope, and by crying and laughing at the betrayals and slights, and then working to overcome them. Theologian Paul Tillich wrote about the courage to be, and healing takes courage. It is a decision to begin the transformation from victim to survivor, from dis-ease to ease, from desolation to consolation, from misery to joy, from brokenness to wholeness. While there's nothing easy about the journey, the destination is the gift to come down where we ought to be. In the Richard Wagamese reading, he wrote, "We live because everything else does." And if we were to choose collectively to live that teaching, the energy of our change of consciousness would heal each of us and heal the planet. And these words certainly echo our UU seventh principle, the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. This interdependence and connectedness reminds us of the importance of our liberal religious community as an agency of healing power. And Reverend Lynn Strauss writes about that. We humans, lovely and diverse as we are, broken and hurting as we might be, we humans have the power of healing within us. In our acts of kindness, we heal. In our feeding the hungry, in our love and care for each other, we heal. The good news is that not only are we in need of healing, but we are also sources of healing. We can all be as lifelines to one another. Being present with one another in community is to create and call forth healing powers. Sometimes this is prayer. Sometimes it is coffee communion. Sometimes it rises up as we sing or as we share joys and sorrows. Wherever we open our hearts in empathy and compassion, healing energy is there, and it blesses the giver. One purpose of beloved community is to assist one another in healing our spirit, in finding our wholeness, in repair of our soul. We are here, tangled together in the mystery called community. Here we struggle to find integrity, to know our soul force. Here we nourish one another unawares. Here we become lifelines for each other. This is life and death work, grace beyond survival. Let us work not for our own healing alone, but for the healing of all, for the healing of the broken world. And so, while we try to balance joy and sorrow, light and dark, brokenness and wholeness, I think this is a time to be the light. And for this holiday season, I want to offer this blessing from John O'Donohue. May the light of your soul guide you. May the light of your soul bless the work you do with the secret love and warmth of your heart. May you see in what you do the beauty of your own soul. May the sacredness of your work bring healing, light, and renewal to those who work with you and to those who see and receive your work. May your work never weary you. May it release within you wellsprings of refreshment, inspiration, and excitement. May you be present in what you do. May you never become lost in the bland absences. May the day never burden. May dawn find you awake and alert, approaching your new day with dreams, possibilities, and promises. May evening find you gracious and fulfilled. May you go into the night blessed, sheltered, and protected. May your soul calm, console, and renew you. May it be so, and may we help to make it so.